The Word of God is absolute truth. It knows no mistakes. It knows no boundaries. It is never out of date. The Word of God is timeless. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I am Deacon Bob, and on behalf of our pastor, Father Mario, our very fine celebrant this morning, Father Christopher, we welcome you today to the light of Christ that is St. Cyril. To anyone visiting with us here this morning, please know that you are always welcome, and we are happy you have joined us in sharing of our common faith. Today's gospel, it marks the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. And on this journey, Jesus deliberately chooses to go to dangerous and controversial places, instructing the people he encounters and his disciples along the way. And in this particular passage, Jesus meets three potential followers. Now, by observing where Jesus went and his response to these three, we can clearly hear him teaching about the demands of discipleship. And they include placing the call of discipleship above all things, not just when it's convenient. Being ready to follow him into all places, not just those that are comfortable. And witnessing to all, including those who may reject you and his message. In essence, our discipleship in Jesus is complete, it is involved, and it is unconditional. Now, here today in 2019, it is easier than ever to isolate yourself from the world. Technology has made this possible, right? Brick-and-mortar stores can be replaced by online shopping. Prescription drugs can now be delivered to your door. You can FaceTime rather than seeing someone in person. Texting, Facebook messaging, all that's replaced direct conversation. All this and much more has made it very easy to stay isolated from the world and engage in the world only when you have to or when you choose to. But that isolation kind of goes against God's creation. For we are not created to live in isolation and hide from the world around us. The demands for discipleship include interacting with the world. And yes, even with people and in places that may be inconvenient and uncomfortable for us. Places that may try to hide themselves from the light of Christ. Areas where deep darkness of evil exists and need to be rooted out. And one of those evil areas of deep darkness has been with us since 1973, and that is abortion. For on January 22, 1973, the United States Supreme Court ruled in the case of Roe v. Wade that abortion was legal. Now, in the 46 years since 1973, 60 million abortions have occurred in this country. You heard me correctly. 60 million. And the insanity of this issue just keeps growing in certain areas of this country. The state of Illinois just passed this month its abortion law. It's called the Reproductive Rights Act. That law now states abortion is a fundamental right all the way to birth. And it also allows partial birth abortion. Partial birth. Think about that one. In New York, the Reproductive Health Act was passed in January. That law now states abortion may take up for any reason up to birth based on the health of the mother. But they don't define what the health of the mother has to be. So any given physical, mental, emotional reason given is good enough. So let's call this what it really is. It's abortion on demand all the way to birth. Both of these acts passed by Illinois and New York at their core are barbaric. Also, in a national debate held this past week. Politicians aiming for high political office in that debate were asked a question: should abortion rights have any restrictions? And the answers were no. No restrictions needed. So I'm going to speak the truth plainly and simply. Abortion needs to be stopped. Catholics need to defend life, no matter how it got its start. We are disciples of Christ, and we must defend the sanctity of life. God's creation, life itself, it's the most precious gift we have from Him, for we are life created in His image. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know it's a terribly emotional subject, and it elicits strong feelings and opinions. But the subject is also full of lies. Lies such as, it's a lump of tissue, not a child. From Psalm 127:3. Children too are a gift from the life. Children too are a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Children too are a gift from the Lord. They are not a lump of tissue. Another lie about health care, is about health care. And the problem is, facts are stubborn creatures. The actual facts do not support the statement that abortion is about health care. Pro-life stats show 99% of all abortions are done for convenient reasons. Planned Parenthood is an active chain store promoter of abortion, and even they put the number of abortions at convenience at 93%. Regardless of which stat is right, understand this. All the lies will be exposed 100% in the end by God and His truth. And for those involved in pushing and celebrating the abortion agenda, unless there is a seeking of forgiveness, we'll have to answer for what they have done. From Ecclesiastes 12:14, God will bring judgment to every work with all its hidden qualities, whether good or bad. Now, our discipleship demands that we do not hide away in isolation from this evil. Rather, it requires us to stand up to it and work to end this moral travesty. But discipleship on abortion, it can't stop there. For all too often, our focus on abortion is confined only to stopping it. But by focusing on just a singular moral aspect of stopping it, we are not fully ministering. For if all abortions stop today, the ministry of healing will still continue. Now, statistics tell us 30% of those who have abortions identify themselves as Catholic. That means there are probably post-abortive women who are sitting in the pews of our Catholic churches. And yet, in all the years that I've attended Catholic Church, there's always been this strange silence, a penetrating silence, when it comes to preaching on abortion. For it's not preached about often, but when it does, it tends to stop at the call to end it. And then that silence takes over. And this silence can't be. As disciples, we need to speak to those who have gone through an abortion. Not with a dismissive and negative look. Not with a judgmental tone or a condemning voice. Rather, we must speak to their humanity. Speak out and touch their heart. We must make it our mission to offer compassion and mercy for what they have been through. We must see them as if we are looking through the eyes of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You know, for if we don't reach out and see their humanity, we run the risk of having those who have had an abortion to think that their sin is so bad, a sin so despicable, that it cannot be mentioned, even in the safety of the church. So yes, as disciples, we must speak to the morality, but we must also speak to those who have had an abortion, in the words of hope. We must speak in the words of repentance, forgiveness, redemption. We must speak to the grace, the mercy, and love that is God Almighty. For if we don't speak up, our silence will isolate those who have gone through an abortion. And feeling isolated is a very lonely place to be, especially in a church. Now, I do understand the hesitation of preachers to speak about this, and I believe it comes from fear, a fear of sounding judgmental, a fear of reopening a deep and painful wound, a fear of accusations of political bias, and much more. But what we really should be afraid of is silence. Silence can be a powerful weapon for Satan and his evil. It is in the silence that the enemy can invade the post-abortive woman's heart. The enemy leans into that heart and starts to fill the silence with lies. The evil one whispers, "See what you've done? It's so horrible they don't even mention it in church. You are alone." They say there's forgiveness, but they never talk about it. It must be that terrible. And therefore, you are that terrible. It is with silence that lies of Satan are allowed to grow and take root. As disciples, we cannot allow such silence and let Satan's lies take hold. Instead, we must speak clearly the word of God and fill that heart with the love of God. Fill it with redemption offered by the cross, the blood, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, the forgiveness of God will not be denied to anyone who has repented. And a heart full of Jesus cannot be lied to, and it can withstand the attacks of the evil one. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the emotional and spiritual wounds of a past abortion can be devastating. It can become a grieving that never seems to end. And to make matters worse, oftentimes those who have gone through an abortion are left to deal with it on their own. And there is no pain as deep as the one that remains buried within an isolated heart and cannot escape. We need to stand with those who have gone through an abortion and help clean that painful wound. The first step in healing is to acknowledge the truth about it so it can be confessed. And then once confessed, those lives touched by abortion will come to know there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, only His cleansing, His forgiveness, and His mercy. Jesus Christ is the greatest healer of all. He can then begin to close the brokenness, mend the broken heart, and ultimately transform life. And we, the disciples here of St. Cyril, we must bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have been deeply wounded by the tragedy of abortion. The power of the crucifixion, the promise of the empty tomb, the power of prayer, the richness of His grace, all the doorways to God must be given freely by this church to anyone who is suffering. Anyone touched by the pain of abortion must know that St. Cyril and all of us present here are disciples of Christ, and we are a church people of healing, of love, and acceptance. All who come here are welcome. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close by speaking directly to anyone and everyone whose life has ever been touched by an abortion. If you have doubt and grief over the past, and you struggle, when dark clouds of despair hang low, hold close to your heart the knowledge God is mercy and forgiveness. Understand fully you are chosen and not forgotten. And always know, you are a cherished and beloved child of our glorious Father in heaven. Thank you, St. Cyril. May we always shine with the eternal light of Jesus Christ. Stay strong in the faith. Never be afraid. And may God bless each and every one of you all the days.
Amen.